A tragedy in Florida claims two lives on the plane, three more on the ground. The Australian Department of Defense spars with a newspaper. And the sole survivor among a Black Hawk crew testifies. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, July 11th, 2007. Reports now indicate as many as five people have died following the Tuesday morning crash of a twin-engine Cessna 310R into a neighborhood in Sanford, Florida. Two of the victims were on board the aircraft. Dr. Bill Kennedy was the husband of NASCAR official Lisa France Kennedy. Michael Clem was a senior captain with NASCAR Aviation. The other three victims, two adults and a small child, were in two houses hit by the aircraft. A third home was also reported damaged. The aircraft departed Daytona Beach International Airport on Tuesday morning for Lakeland Linder Regional Airport. Minutes after takeoff, the 310's pilot reported smoke in the cockpit and declared an emergency. Air traffic controllers were directing the stricken plane to Orlando Sanford International when it crashed about 8:35 a.m. Eastern Time, about 4 miles from the airport. Investigators on the scene report it appears the pilot tried to land in a nearby field, but struck homes instead. An 8-member NTSB team has been sent to investigate. An Australian newspaper has rankled Air Force officials in that country by suggesting the service is misleading the public about the cost of the new Joint Strike Fighter aircraft. A report in The Age challenged the Defense Department's claim that the planes cost up to $80 million Australian per copy. The paper says that's a number called the flyaway cost, which doesn't include many other costs to get the planes into service. On Monday, the Department of Defense issued a release, according to The Age report. Quote, the estimated average flyaway cost for Australia's JSF aircraft is currently estimated to be about $80 million. Total project costs, however, will also include the acquisition of facilities, spares, initial training, support systems, and weapons. Typically, the cost of these broader project elements adds about 50% over the cost of the acquisition of the aircraft, providing an approximate per-aircraft total cost of about $120 million Australian. For a fleet of 100 aircraft, this would mean a total project cost of around $12 billion, which is well within the project cost published in the 2007 Defense Capability Plan of $11.5 to $15.5 billion, unquote. Australia has allocated up to $16 billion to purchase up to 100 F-35s to replace the country's fleet of early model FA-18 Hornets and F-111s. The co-pilot and only surviving crew member of a December 2006 Black Hawk helicopter accident testified before an Australian military inquiry board investigating the cause of the accident. The Army pilot, identified only as Captain No. 7, said a global positioning system error put the helicopter much closer than expected to the ship on which it was to land, and the resulting rapid pull-up caused transient rotor droop. The co-pilot says he assumed the helicopter would keep flying after impacting the deck of the HMAS Canimbla during what he said was a routine landing. The aircraft instead went over the side of the carrier and sank in the sea off Fiji. Australian Defense Forces had been on standby in the area to evacuate Australian citizens in case an early December coup in Fiji had sparked violence. According to an account in The Australian, Captain No. 7 told the board he was the sole survivor because he ignored procedures, grabbed his breathing device and got out while the aircraft was still moving, then swam to the surface. He dismissed speed or wind as factors in the accident. Last month, Airbus sales chief John Leahy announced that General Electric's Gen X engine was not in the running for the Airbus A350XWB, saying the plane maker needed engines that were, quote, a generation beyond, unquote. His tone and language in criticizing GE were blunt, even for him. But it now appears the scrapping of the original A350 in favor of a design which would overlap the market segment of the Boeing 777 meant that the most appropriate engine from GE would be the GE90. Unfortunately, Boeing has an exclusive contract with GE for that engine. That leaves Airbus with only the Trent 1000 engine series from Rolls-Royce. It's a great engine, but the lack of a choice puts the A350XWB at a disadvantage with airlines which have already equipped and trained their maintenance departments to work on GE products. The Airbus A340 is at a similar disadvantage. The GE engines it would use are exclusive to the Boeing 737. So, will Boeing release GE from the exclusive deals in the interest of world peace? In the words of Boeing Commercial Airplanes CEO Scott Carson, quote, not on your life. Up next on ANN, the light sport aircraft segment has finally arrived. Sport Air USA will debut another high-wing LSA at Oshkosh. And UAV technology starts turning up in the experimental market. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. For 3 years running, the Cirrus SR-22 G2 has been the world's best-selling single-engine four-seat airplane. Today, the SR-22 G2 defines the new Cirrus standard model. Why? We'd love to invite you to see for yourself by taking a ride in the new breed of airplane that has taken the aviation industry by storm. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or on the web at cirrusdesign.com. Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design for a number of reasons. For instance, the noise-canceling microphone used in the Clarity Aloft headset is a high-fidelity, noise-canceling electret condenser microphone with performance optimized for speech frequencies in extremely high-noise environments. Stage performers and musicians use this same microphone because they must insist on the highest level of sound reproduction. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for July 11th, 2007. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. The light sport aircraft market segment experienced a defining moment on Tuesday. Cessna announced it will move forward with the development and production of its own LSA. For the time being, the company is saving all other details for release at EAA AirVenture Oshkosh. One of the most sought-after of those details is the company's engine choice. The first showing of the Cessna LSA concept at Oshkosh last year sported Rotax four-stroke power. The plane shown at Lakeland this year had a Continental O200. The 30-plus other companies already offering planes for the U.S. light sport market almost unanimously agree on two things. First, the bad news. Cessna will almost certainly eclipse all of them as the number one manufacturer of LSAs overnight. But the good news is that LSAs are likely to show up quickly in the fleets of Cessna flight centers, giving light sport aircraft and the sport pilot certificate a level of standing which has evaded them so far. Cessna CEO Jack Pelton said extensive marketing research showed a great need for the plane. Quote, "We believe this aircraft will make a major contribution to stimulating new pilot starts and will encourage already licensed pilots to continue to fly because it will be more affordable," unquote. Cessna had previously said it made no sense to offer an LSA which cost more than $100,000. That will make the price another highly anticipated detail. Cessna promises answers July 22nd will be there. The Cessna Sport won't be the only high-wing LSA on the ramp. Sport Air USA, the North American distributor of the TL-2000 Sting Sport SLSA, tells ANN it will preview a cabin model of the new TL-3000 Sirius at Oshkosh. The high-wing Sirius is built of carbon fiber composite, powered by the Rotax 912, and sports a 48-inch cabin with room for golf clubs in the back. Representatives with Sport Air USA say the Sirius was a hit at Aero Friedrichshafen this year. Flight testing is expected to be completed in the fall, with aircraft ready for U.S. delivery next year. Sport Air USA is based in Central Arkansas and is the North American distributor for Sting Sport and Sirius aircraft, Woodcomp propellers, and the Green Line engine monitoring system by IK Technologies. A tiny 4-ounce piece of hardware which handles inertial and GPS navigation and provides air data, attitude, and heading reference for small unmanned aerial vehicles is coming to manned civilian aircraft. Athena Technology says its micro INS can output attitude data with an accuracy of a tenth of a degree. The company says its system has been proven in over 180,000 flight hours in the UAV industry. The German systems integration company Stock Flight Systems tested the micro INS in a Pitts S2B and reported it handled aerobatics well. Following the micro INS release for experimental aircraft, Athena plans a series of products certificated by the FAA for general and business aviation, including systems similar to the micro INS, but also autopilots and full flight controls, including redundant configurations. To fulfill its new assignment, Airbus Wichita is going to have to hire at least 75 additional engineers between now and early 2008. Airbus has shifted responsibility for the entire wing design of the A380 to its Wichita, Kansas engineering shop, according to the Wichita Business Journal. Site manager John O'Leary says a nationwide search will be required, but Wichita Mayor Carl Brewer isn't so sure. Quote, "We have the skilled labor here, and Wichita State is one of the finest engineering schools. I think they're going to be able to find their engineers," unquote. The first A380 Super Jumbo is scheduled for delivery to Singapore Airlines later this year. But at least one industry analyst feels Airbus Wichita should shift its focus to the A350, and quickly. Richard Abulafia, an aerospace analyst with the Teal Group, says, quote, "As a percent of the market, the A380 is a sideshow. Since the A380 was launched, it's gotten 160-something orders. In the meantime, there have been about 2,000 orders for smaller aircraft for the market that the A350 plays in," unquote. Can we at least agree it's a great time to be an engineering graduate at Wichita State? Still ahead, Linear Air takes delivery of its first Eclipse 500. NASA prepares Endeavour for an August 7th launch. And Spirit joins the list of airlines with angry pilots. You're listening to Aero News.
Higher, faster, farther, safer. Those are the watchwords of Columbia Aircraft Manufacturing's new generation of personal airplanes. The Columbia 350 and 400 are now available with either an Abadyne or Garmin electronic cockpit. The new Garmin G1000 equipped Columbia 350 and 400 have just been introduced with the new ReadyPad. While the G1000 panel integrates all navigation and flight instruments into two high-resolution screens, incorporating GPS, nav, comm, autopilot, transponder, and flight director into one easy-to-use package. To schedule a demo flight in a Columbia 350 or the turbocharged 400, call 541-318-1144 or check them out on the web at flycolumbia.com.
Hey, this is Tom Gresham. You know, I am an aviation nut. I just love to fly airplanes. That's why I started a brand new TV series called Wings to Adventure. It's on the Outdoor Channel. Now, if you don't get the Outdoor Channel, be sure to call your cable system and tell them you want to see this thing, because we show airplanes in high definition. It is seriously cool. For more information, be sure to go to our website. It's wingstoadventure.com. That's wingstoadventure.com. We're on 3 times a week on the Outdoor Channel, so be sure to join us.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Wednesday, July 11th, 2007. I'm Paul Plack. Linear Air announced the delivery of its first Eclipse 500 Very Light jet on Tuesday. Chief Pilot Sean Dingen and Captain Dana Della Croce will ferry the airplane from Albuquerque to Hanscom Field in Bedford, Massachusetts later this week. The company plans to become the first carrier to operate an Eclipse 500 jet taxi, promising a new era of personal air transportation at business airline prices. Linear Air is based in Concord, Massachusetts, and says it provides short-hop personal air travel to executives and families with outstanding customer service, flexibility, and convenience at attractive fares. The company boasts the largest fleet of executive Cessna Grand Caravan prop jets in the U.S. The Eclipse 500 will allow Linear Air to expand its existing prop jet service within point-to-point 500-mile regional networks around major metropolitan areas. ANN learned from NASA that the rollout of the Space Shuttle Endeavour to Launch Pad 39 Alpha was expected to begin over Tuesday night. It was originally planned for Tuesday morning, but the move was canceled due to forecasts of unfavorable weather. The crawler transporter will carry the Space Shuttle assembly on its 3.4-mile journey to the launch pad. That trip typically takes 6 to 7 hours. During the STS-118 mission, Endeavour will carry into orbit the S-5 truss, SpaceHab module, and external stowage platform 3. The payload was delivered Sunday to the launch pad's payload changeout room. NASA says Endeavour's mission, starting with a launch August 7th, will mark the first flight for mission specialist Barbara Morgan, the teacher-turned-astronaut whose association with NASA began more than 20 years ago. STS-118 will also mark the first flight for Endeavour since 2002. Add pilots at Spirit Airlines to the seemingly never-ending list of disgruntled airline employees. The Spirit pilots, represented by the Airline Pilots Association International, say the airline is forcing them to fly hours in excess of their contract limits to make up for staffing shortages, and then not compensating pilots appropriately. Spirit pilots offered a concessionary contract to Spirit in 2003 to allow the airline to survive and grow. At that time, Spirit demanded that Caribbean and Latin American flying be treated as domestic flying. That allowed the company to avoid paying international overrides to pilots who performed those assignments. The union said, okay, but then the company had to follow domestic hours of service rules on those routes. Those rules are more restrictive than international hours of service rules. The system has worked for more than 3 years, but the pilots say that now, in the face of its staffing shortage, Spirit management insists that it can require pilots flying into the Caribbean or Latin America to perform additional flying pursuant to international hours of service rules, but still deny them the international override pay. Spirit pilots have been in contract negotiations with the company for more than 10 months. Finally, overreaching airport security efforts are serving up a treasure trove of silly stories that are frankly more entertaining than anything we could make up. All did not go smoothly leading up to the performance of heavy metal pioneers Metallica during last weekend's Live Earth concert. According to a report in The Times, the band's lead vocalist and rhythm guitarist, James Hetfield, was detained and questioned by officials at Luton Airport when he arrived for the Saturday gig at Wembley Stadium. Eventually, when red-faced officials realized they were detaining a guy who sold 90 million albums, Hetfield was released and the performance went off on time. Hetfield's friends say it was his Taliban-like beard that got him pulled out of the line. Aero News has been unable to confirm that any other middle-aged biker-looking white guys with tattoos have actually joined the Taliban, but we have uncovered a rumor that ZZ Top has decided to travel only in old V8 Fords from now on. And that's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, my guest is Greg Greminger, Vice President of the Popular Rotorcraft Association. The PRA's National Fly-In and Convention is coming up August 1st through the 5th in Mentone, Indiana. We'll get a preview from Greg. If you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. You can find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.